I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die, and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated.
God, may my words be your words, and may they sink into each of our hearts, including my own. Just so you guys know, I don't have the constitution for like a hellfire and brimstone sermon, so if any of you are just like eyeing the exits, it's okay. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." There's a difference between using a name and bearing a name. Can you hear it? I want you to listen for that difference. I want it to occupy all the back alleys of your mind during this sermon. If at any point I start to bore you and your mind starts to wander, it can happen, I promise. Let your mind wander back to this question. What is the difference between using a name and bearing a name? Sometimes the difference is obvious. Bullies use names. They fashion them into weapons to cut their enemies into more manageable shapes. Name droppers use names. They take them out of their back pocket when they want to feel special and sprinkle them into conversations like pixie dust. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my good friend George Clooney, because he'll tell you the same thing. These people use names like they're objects: a key to open doors, a sword to slice their enemies, a light to shine beside them. They pick these names up and put them down whenever they have need. Pick them up when they have need, put them down when it's less convenient. This is obviously different from a police officer who bears the name of the law. She's a reflection of the law, and what she does reflects back on it. This is different from a politician who bears the name of America and bears the name of the people who voted for them and the people who didn't vote for them. It's different from a Christian who both bears the name of God, having God's authority reflected in them, and whose actions reflect back on that God. But sometimes these people forget that difference. They try to use these names for their authority and their power. They forget that these aren't names they can use. These are names they bear. But there is a difference between using a name and bearing a name. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. James and John never really got the difference. Throughout the entirety of Mark's gospel, they never really got the difference. It's a hard thing to hear whenever you are so focused on yourself. And believe me, they were. James and John had always known that they were special, that they were destined for great things. Now, please don't ask me why. I have no idea. If you ask their neighbors, they definitely have opinions. Their neighbors would say things like, well, I mean, they're teenage boys, you know? They're going to think they're special. Or they'd say things like, I mean, they're millennials. It's a part of this everyone has a trophy generation. You know, I mean, they're the first millennials, really. Or they'd say things like, look at them, they're the sons of Zebedee. They're Zebedee's kids. He's got all these fanciest boats. He's got all the hired help he could need. They're sons of Zebedee. Of course they're going to think they're special. I would too. These neighbors are really good at using names. But whatever the reason, James and John had always known that they were special. So when Jesus showed up and called out to them across the water, they weren't surprised. But they were excited. James and John were the sorts of people who would latch on to anything that made them feel special. And Jesus made them feel special. They were only two of 12 people in the entire world Jesus had called to be disciples. And as they traveled from place to place, Jesus' fame only grew. And by extension, James and John's fame only grew. He would call out to unclean spirits, and they would flee their hosts. He would call out to the sick, and the sickness would flee. He would call out to death, and it would flee the dead. He spoke with authority. He spoke with the authority of the name of God, not like the scribes or the Pharisees. And as his fame grew, James and John attached themselves to him more and more, until they weren't just a part of the 12 anymore. They were a part of the three. They were a part of Jesus' inner circle, the three disciples who were the closest to him. It was just James and John, and this other guy who's not important, just don't worry about him. Jesus then turned to these three people and he gave them each new names. At first, James and John were a little concerned because he named the other guy Rock, and they were hoping for something a little cooler. But Jesus did not disappoint, okay? He looked at them and he named them the Sons of Thunder. I mean, if I were a teenage boy, and I once was, that's the sort of name that would definitely go to my head. The Sons of Thunder. They were strong, they were loud, and they brought the storm. Oh man, you better believe that came up in conversation. Whenever they had downtime, they would go off into the nearest town, you know, make friends, have some fun, talk to girls. You know that name came up. They're like, yeah, sorry we've got to leave so soon. You know, Jesus is a pretty strict taskmaster. Oh, you know Jesus. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, we are. We're part of the 12. Mm-hmm. Well, really, it's more like the three lately, you know, just my brother. Really like the two, I'd say, you know. Jesus, he calls us, you know what he calls us? He calls us the Sons of Thunder. Pretty cool, right? James and John knew how to use a name. Then one day, while the disciples were out walking, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, okay, now it's your turn. I want you to take my name. I want you to take my authority and go out into the world. Do the good that I have done. Go everywhere on your own. Take my name and my authority and do good in the world. And they took this name that Jesus had given them like a sword in their hands. They called out in the name of Jesus, and unclean spirits fled their hosts. Sickness fled the sick, and death fled the dead. They wielded Jesus' name like a sword against evil, and the powers of the world bent and broke and shattered before them. They marveled at this new weapon that Jesus had given them. They thought to themselves, this is like that story that they were always hearing in the synagogue. The one about Moses and that talking, it was a burning rock or something. Like, Moses was walking around, there was this burning rock. It was God. God was in the burning rock, and God had said, hey, Moses, I want you to go save my people. And Moses said, sure, but only if you give me your name and your power. And God said, curses! You've bested me, Moses. Here, take my name and my power. And he did. And Moses did all these cool things. He turned staffs into snakes and seas into blood. And he turned light into darkness. It was a good story. And now they were living it. They had taken Jesus' name like a weapon in their hands and wielded it against the evils of the world. Then one day, they came across this joker who was casting out unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. Now, if you'll remember, that's their name. That's the name that Jesus had given to them to use. They weren't about to let this guy do this. So they sauntered on up to this punk and they said, hey, what do you think you're doing healing the sick and casting out unclean spirits in the name of Jesus? Listen, that's our name. He gave that name to us to use. So why don't you just turn around, mosey on out of here, and go find someone else's name to use because this one is taken. And they were so proud of themselves. They were high-fiving, and they couldn't wait to get back to Jesus. The first thing they did was to tell him, they're like, hey, Jesus, so listen, there was this clown town back, there was this clown who was doing good works in your name, but don't worry, because we told him to scram. I don't know if people rolled their eyes in first century Judea. I don't know if that was a thing, but I can't help but imagine that Jesus, this is the only reaction I can imagine of him. Oh my gosh, he spends the entire rest of the chapter explaining to them the difference between using a name and bearing a name. He explains that when you bear a name, you don't own it. It doesn't belong to you. They didn't own the name of Jesus. You don't own a name when you bear it. You can't pick it up and put it down whenever you want. It's more than that. If any part of you starts to rebel against the name that you are bearing, it's better if you just cut that part off. Throw it away. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one leg and one arm and one eye than to go to hell, I guess. Bearing a name is so different from using a name. And so after Jesus had sat down and patiently explained this to them, calmly, collectively, bearing a name, using a name, eventually, they finally didn't get it. They just didn't get it. We go through the entire gospel and they still don't get it. If they had paid attention in synagogue, maybe they would have understood. If they had paid attention to the story of Moses and the burning bush, they would have understood. See, God asks Moses to deliver God's people. And Moses asks, who am I that I would be able to do this? And God says, I'm with you. Who are you, Moses asks. What is your name? What's the name of this God that what is this name that I'm supposed to bear into the world? And God explains, my name is too big to be known, and it is too big to be owned. It can only be born. Your ancestors bore my name. I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. Your ancestors reflected me, and their actions reflected back on me. I am your God, the God who's with you. And now you will bear my name, and your descendants will bear my name after you as the children of God. But who am I? Moses asks. I am with you, God replies. Moses' identity is now wrapped up in the identity of God. When you bear someone's name, you're like mirrors facing each other at an angle. You're reflecting them and reflecting them back out into the world. And when Moses reflected the name of God, yes, seas turned to blood, staffs turned to snakes, and light turned to dark, but it wasn't because of anything Moses did. It wasn't because of the way Moses used God's name. This was just the authority of God reflected out into the world. And it wasn't something he could ever put down. It wasn't something he could use, like a sword or a key or a bludgeon. There's a difference between using a name and bearing a name. We forget this sometimes. When an officer of the law abuses their power, when a politician uses their influence for personal gain, when a minister of God abuses the trust of the people, sometimes we forget that these are names we bear and not names that we can use. And Jesus says that, especially with the name of God, when any part of us stops reflecting the name we bear, it's time to get cutting. These names don't belong to us. We don't own the name of God. We bear it. We can't pick it up and put it down like a basketball. It's something we bear at all times. The authority of God reflected in us. And what we do reflects back on that God. Sometimes I want to set it down. When there's an injustice that just seems too big, like an entire people enslaved in Egypt, I just want to put it down. When I hear a slur used nearby, and I just want to duck my head, avoid trouble, walk away, but I'm bearing the name of God. Sometimes I'm just tired of being good. And I just want to set the name of God down for a while. I'm tired of the responsibility that reflecting the image of God in me requires. I just want to set it down. But there's a difference between using a name and bearing a name. I don't know all of what that difference is. That's part of why I wanted you guys to think about this for yourselves. Because I just don't know. But I think Jesus gives us a clue. When, during the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do you light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You are the light of the world," Jesus says. He's not telling you to be the light of the world. He's not telling you to do your best to become the light of the world. Jesus is telling you who you are. You are the light of the world. You can't stop shining, no matter how hard you try. You can hide your light under a bowl, I guess, but the light of God is never going to stop shining in you. And yes, there's a lot of responsibility that comes from that. There's also a lot of power that comes from that. The power of the name of Christ turns dark to light and sick to health and death to life. And during those times, when we think that it's too much, we just want to set it down. When an injustice seems too big, or we don't want to cause trouble, and it just seems too much, I'm reminded of Moses, who, when he asked God, "Who am I that I should bear your name?" God said, "I'm with you. Who am I?"